Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching the gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who are you going to call? Mythbusters. Close enough. This is Wretched Radio. Answers in Genesis. They do a lovely job with their Answers magazine. I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers, that's a mouthful, the latest edition, Answers, Delighting in the Dance, The Riot and the Dance. It's a new film from Answers in Genesis, taking a look at nation and nature and how it testifies to the creative hand of God, how all of creation praises God, but just one, human beings. Everything else doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. The cockroach glorifying God. That's right, the cockroach. In fact, there's actually an article in this particular magazine. I learned some stuff about cockroaches.
Not that
I was all that interested. I found it interesting nevertheless. There's a lot of different varieties of cockroaches, and they actually perform a function. They don't just annoy you in your house. They're actually what you probably deserve for not keeping things as tidy as you ought, because they're gonna find free lodging and free food. Who can blame them for going there? Not to say you shouldn't exterminate them.
So it's like parents' house.
Bludgeon them with a ball-peen hammer, because that's pretty much what it takes to get rid of some of them. But I actually learned about cockroaches and why they live so long. Apparently, they can go through, like, you know, they talk about cockroaches surviving through a nuclear disaster. It's because of how slowly they process. I think it has something to do with, I don't want to get all scientific on you, but it has something to do with the way they're made. So they do actually live through this stuff. And as they eat stuff, they also, they can eat just about anything. It comes out the other end, and it's actually good for the soil. So even cockroaches aren't without purpose. They aren't without design. They aren't without God's hand. And they aren't without glorifying God. They glorify God even as they go about the business of annoying you in your house. Let's take a look. Here's another. Got another article. Forget the cockroaches for a moment. Roosters. I got to tell you, this is one lucky break for the chickens in the coop right here. I'm telling you, from an evolutionary standpoint, you got yourself a phenomenal amount of luck right here. If you stood next to a crowing rooster, you'd be blasted with up to 140 decibels of cockle-doodle-doo, loud enough to damage your eardrums. So the question is, how does a rooster listen to its own cacophony without going deaf? And the answer is, it evolved it! It just happened. You see, the roosters, they were going deaf from all the cockle-doodle-dooing. And so they got together and they had a rooster meeting. It was contentious, needless to say, because, you know, they stick
their chests
out.
It's a rooster meeting. They're always contentious.
And nobody could hear one another because they were all deaf from being so loud. And even those that weren't totally deaf when they arrived at the rooster evolving meeting soon became deaf because, you know, roosters, they'll do what roosters do. Nevertheless, through chicken sign language, they decided to evolve a system. How lucky is that? According to science, a rooster's eardrums are half covered in a soft tissue to dampen the noise. And when a rooster tilts its head back to let loose, his auditory canals close completely. So they decided to evolve earplugs is what they did. That is lucky. I'm just telling you right there. That is some lucky stuff. That meetings are important. I'm just telling you. Meetings are very important. All right, I found the article, by the way, on the cockroach business. Here's the dealio. Cockroaches can withstand high levels of radiation thanks to their slow cell renewal cycle. Well, that's exactly what I said. I just thought I'd bring the authority of the Answers magazine. Some cockroaches can hold their breath for 40 minutes. Woo! The Japanese cockroach can walk on ice and survive freeze-thaw cycles. Because roaches can fight MRSA and E. coli, scientists hope to use their research on roaches to create antibiotics for humans to fight the same bacteria. I'm going to get a shot of cockroach someday. Roaches have inspired designs for microbiotics and prosthetics. Some have wings, but they usually tend to glide. They don't breathe through their mouth, but through holes called spiracles on their thorax and abdomen. Cockroaches can consume almost anything, like soap, glue, leather, hair. So they're not Epicureans. That's what we learned right there. Now, if you'll quit distracting me, gentlemen, we'll
get to
some
myth-busting.
Does any of this
explain Keith busting. Richards?
I don't know that cockroaches would go that far. Some common misconceptions about creation. The animals we see today look the same as the animals at creation. Gentlemen, true or false? The animals we see today look like they did when God spoke them into existence, 6 24-hour days. Thank you very much.
I'm going to say false.
Tony?
I bet they're pretty close.
Well, Ken Ham would beg to differ. Tony, many pictures show lions, tigers, and leopards, for instance, getting on the ark. But these three cats from a common ancestor cat kind represented on the ark by a single pair. These two cats would have contained the genetic information necessary for the combinations we see today. Therefore, they couldn't have looked exactly like any of the animals that we see today. So there you have it.
So Ken's wrong on this one.
I dare you to say that publicly. Oops, you just did. True or false, Adam and Eve had light hair, fair skin, blue eyes. True or false?
Oh, absolutely true. Look at my children's Bible.
Ah, exactly.
Or Max von Sydow when he played Christ.
Perfect.
I'm going to have to go with no.
That they didn't express recessive traits like light hair and blue eyes. Interesting. As the parents of all people, Adam and Eve must have possessed DNA containing vast genetic information needed for a diverse human population. They probably had brown eyes and dark hair, the dominant traits, and middle brown skin shade. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you've got darker shades and you've got lighter shades, the original people must have been able to give both, not recessive traits, light skinned, blue eyes, blonde hair. That's kind of funny, if you ask me. A lot of Western art.
So missed this one. Aryan super race was...
Although skin shade is complex and the result of multiple genes, it is determined in part by the amount of pigment called melanin. Vodi Bakum preaching to a predominantly white audience. To his melanin-deprived brothers and sisters in Christ, deficient brothers and sisters. A middle brown shade indicates that the person has the genetic diversity to pass on either light or dark tones to their children. If Adam and Eve were both a middle brown shade, they could have had children of all shades from dark to light. Now, come on. Tell me that doesn't help a little bit with racism. Seriously. That the original people didn't look like you. Unless, of course, you're like middle brown color. So I would imagine, perhaps, Middle Eastern shade. Perhaps, like, south of the border countries. That's probably closer to what we're talking about here. Now, for people who have more melanin and less melanin, a little something that in Western civilization we tend to focus on is the big racism battle. Doesn't that kind of change your tune a little bit? Original parents didn't look like either one of those groups of people, nor did Jesus, most likely. Blonde hair, blue eyes? Nope. And as far as looking African, not that either. Definitely middle shade at least. Doesn't that help a little bit? With an attitude of superiority that you can't look back and go, well, the Savior looked like me, or Adam and Eve looked like me. It's just not the way God looks at things anyway. True or false? Men have fewer ribs than women. True or false? Because, you know, God took that one out of Adam. Therefore, we human beings, we men, we have fewer ribs these days than the ladies.
Well, I went and got some barbecue just last week, and my wife has not had barbecue in a while, so I have way more ribs than her.
I see. Somebody's not paying attention to the context of the conversation. Does anybody else buy too much barbecue sauce at one time? Okay, I know
can't.
We get it at Costco.
Can you?
Oh, yeah. It's like barbecue. A lot
Does
of
it
people
go bad?
Make barbecue sauce, and a lot of it is really good. And at Costco, they sell those humongous, like 64-ouncers, strapped together. You know, we had a Costco chicken the other night. They had one, so we got one. And we got the Costco barbecue sauce that's been sitting in our fridge for give or take 12 to 15 years. We're not exactly sure. So we ditched it, having the other vat in our closet, realizing I think we need to be purchasing smaller sizes of barbecue sauce in the future. Of course, an impossibility at Costco. While it's true God took a rib from Adam to fashion Eve, that would be your Genesis 2, 21 through 21, he did not change Adam's DNA to do that. If a man lost a leg in an accident, would we expect his future children to be born without a leg? No. Adam still had the genetic code for a full set of ribs, and he passed on that complete information to his sons and daughters alike. Myth busting, courtesy of Answers in Genesis magazine. If you don't get it, encourage you to do so. You can get it at Answers in Genesis. By the way, that was written by Dr. Dana Snead, these myth busters, who happens to be the person who's working on our Road Trip to Truth Bible study guide for youth groups and homeschoolers. It's going to be really, really good. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We do also thank our gospel partners for allowing us to make a nifty new video series called Road Trip to Truth. It's hosted by John Fabares, and it's coming to a Wretched store near you real soon. John and the crew went on the road to college campuses talking the tough issues that millennials have to struggle with. The real issues like, why is there evil in this world? Is Jesus really God? Is there only one way to heaven? Many more questions, too. Not only did they get a chance to talk with them, they shared the gospel with them. And you'll have a bird's eye view of it with Road Trip to Truth to give you an idea how to share your faith with this younger generation. It's all made possible by our gospel partners. Would you join us in sharing the gospel to all those who need it? Wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
What are you doing April 8th? I know you're getting as many copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You are going out to the streets to a university campus, joining many wretches to give away a gospel booklet that demonstrates Jesus is God, co-authored with this man, Phil Johnson. Say hi, Phil Johnson.
Hi, Phil Johnson.
He's better in writing. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and give it away to as many people as you can on April 8th.
So join us for the Easter Invasion, April the 8th. To get your copies of Wretched's newest evangelical resource today, go to wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. And join your fellow wretches April the 8th at any public university or college campus for the Easter Invasion. Let's invade these campuses and share the gospel by handing out The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copies today at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. SOSministries.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Come on, church. Let's worship.
This is the first verse of the worship song sung. The words are simple, so sing along, long. I am terrible, but he is able. It's incredible. Hope the song's relatable. Life's got me down. I'm at the end of my ropes. Here's an out-of-context Bible verse about hope. This is the chorus. We're lifting our voices loud and triumphant. We're singing the chorus. It's repetitive. It's repetitive. It's repetitive. All my problems are gone.
Verse 2. Actually, it's a verse 2.
I'm a rich blonde female singing about how I fail. Things are bad again. I am struggling. I'm a total mess. My life's a train wreck. I'm pure garbage. I need him again.
Life's got me down. I'm at the end of my rope. Text Bible verse about hope. This is the chorus. We're lifting our voices loud and triumphant. We're singing the chorus. It's repetitive.
Get your hands up, church.
It's repetitive.
That's right, church.
All my problems are gone.
Uh-oh.
Sing it, church.
The drums are getting louder. I'm feeling overpowered. The rushing wind and waves, they bow to you now. I surrender. I feel the holy fire. Fire rounds with desire. I'm about to cry and lift my hands to the sky. No instruments.
Just the voice.
Chorus, just the voices.
Come on,
chorus
y'all.
With no instruments.
Little high.
Chorus with the key change. Chorus. Chorus. Chorus.
Really lost me.
This song's about Jesus. This song's about Jesus. This song's about Jesus. We forgot to mention Jesus.
Yeah.
Tell me that satire.
This is the chorus. We're lifting our voices loud and triumphant. We're singing the chorus. My problems are gone.
This is Wretched Radio. Hope you feel better. That from the worship song song by Random Action Verb Worship. Some people are going to actually play that next Sunday. Assuming, of course, they're meeting. This is Wretched Radio.
They lost me, though, because they don't do key changes anymore.
What? What happened to key changes?
Oh, no. They went out of fashion a while ago because that's too complicated. You have to learn four new chords.
Ah, so there's a musicianship element that you're saying doesn't exist like it did 2 years ago when that was trendy.
Yeah, no, they just build and build and build and then have the big, it's all dynamics. It's not key changes.
The reality is that contemporary worship, as you hear it on a lot of Christian radio stations today, they have done their research right. They understand the mood of most people. This was even pre-coronavirus. They are scared. They are hurting. They feel purposeless. They're lacking joy. And these songs are intended to make them feel better. The problem is, without truth, they don't. They can't. And so the very goal that they have for themselves to help Becky, who's 37 years old, living in the suburbs with two kids driving a minivan, doesn't help Becky. It's like a hope drug. You got to keep coming back to get more and more and more and more and more of it. Hear more songs, hear more music, go to another festival, because if I don't get my little hit of hope, I'm going to feel really, really miserable. Truth is what people need. Truth is what needs to be buried in one's brain so that their thinking can be improved, which will affect their emotions. Worship leader, if you can, be picking the most theologically robust songs you can lay your hands on. There are songs out there. I encourage you. There have been some people asking, is there like a good place to find a collection of this? If there is, I'm not aware of it. But maybe checking out the Sing Conference. Nothing is infallible, but there's a good group of folks there that will perhaps lead you to sources that produce good worship music that actually soothes the soul. I'll tell you, Joey, do we have that by any chance? It's the one from California Baptist University, Behold Our God. Do we have that any place in here?
I believe so, yeah.
All right. Where do I have that in here any place? This song, I'm just telling you, every time I hear it, you can be in a totally rotten mood. And when you're done with it, it's like, I feel so happy to be born again, to be a Christian. I'm so glad that that God saved me. We just happen to have that particular song. This is T-Love, Truth Love Radio.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice.
Tell me that doesn't help you when you're scared of a virus.
Thank you.
better. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. As the COVID-19 outbreak continues, countries, states, cities all trying to find ways to keep the virus under control. As a vaccine begins human trials, President Trump and most pastors I know are urging common sense and prayer during the outbreak. Chick-fil-A, for instance, released a statement on Sunday saying that their highest priority continues to be the health and well-being of everyone who comes into our restaurants. As we navigate the evolving impact of coronavirus on our communities, we are temporarily closing our dining room seating to help limit person-to-person contact. Drive-thrus will remain open, although other restaurant features such as delivery will depend on each location. Their decision comes as local and state governments have issued orders closing food establishments. California, Ohio, Illinois, Massachusetts, and Washington have closed restaurants and bars for dining in, as have Los Angeles and New York City. I suspect more will be coming. As of Monday morning, 3,800 people in the U.S. have been diagnosed with COVID-19, according to Johns Hopkins University. Although that number is probably low because of the recent shortage of tests, worldwide, 174,000 have it, the worldwide mortality rate 3.8%. In Italy, where the outbreak has shut down the country, it is noticeably higher for those elderly at risk. By comparison, the death rate for the flu is at 0.1%. Unlike the flu, as yet there's no vaccine for COVID-19. The number of reported cases in the U.S. has increased 30-fold in just 11 days. There were 129 cases noted on March 4th. Starbucks, by the way, has closed its dining rooms, making all orders to go. Taco Bell said last week its restaurants were operating drive-through only, and that all of its restaurants may soon close their dining rooms. And I suspect it's probably true, the old adage, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Prayer, please, and common sense as the world navigates this outbreak. Today, of course, generally a day of celebration. It's St. Patrick's Day, usually filled with parades and celebrations and that Kelly Green River thing they do in Chicago. But for the first time in 258 years, the annual New York St. Patrick's Day parade has been canceled because of the virus. Although St. Patrick's Day has become widely secularized over the centuries, hadn't it though? It originally began as a holy day. Dr. Charles Doherty of the University College of Dublin reminds us the origin of St. Patrick's Day would be the death day of the saint, the day of his entry into heaven, his feast day, the festival of that. Feast days were annual celebrations in which Christians remembered their saints. Patrick's feast day was first observed locally by his own followers in Ireland, but by the 7th century, Patrick's story had been embellished by several biographers. He was made a saint by popular devotion. It wasn't until the 1600s that the Roman Catholic Church made his sainthood official, as they are wont to do. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor. But he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are in good hands, sort of, here at Wretched Radio. The man behind the microphone, really pay no attention. I just tried to put on two pair of glasses at the exact same time. What kind of a talking monkey am I? I actually tried not one, two, simultaneously. Don't try this at home. It doesn't work. Remember, you're listening to the most professional radio program on this station at this time. Busting myths for your consideration. Hey, now, courtesy
by
of
the way,
answers. What?
It's been months since I've lost something in my hand.
Uh-huh.
You know, right. Like you're looking for your keys. It's like, where are my keys? And then you look down and you've been holding them the whole time.
Where are my glasses, dear? They're on the end of your nose, honey. Yeah, I know. been there, done that. Try leaving your cell phone and your wallet on top of your car and driving away.
I'll
go
pass.
Ahead and do that. And then listen to the comments from your family about your forgetfulness, which sadly I've done more than once, which actually raised a question for me. Did that recently. Please don't tell Mrs. Friel. She doesn't know about this yet. Drove away, wallet, car, on top of the car. Which one is worse to lose? If you could only pick one, you got to deal with losing the cell phone, all the contacts, all the information, all the texts you could be missing, breaking news alerts, or your wallet. Which one would you rather deal with?
I'd rather deal with the phone because all that stuff is updated to the cloud for better or worse.
Three initials answered that question for me. DMV. That's it. I just go deal with the license thing. That is something.
Well, you can put your you can put your cards on pause or whatever it is now.
Yeah, but wait a second. Three other letters. AT&T. That's tell me that wasn't one of the most blistering ad campaigns ever. Is it Verizon when they had AT&T as Pinocchio just lying? That is about as aggressive as you are going to see an ad campaign in a postmodern culture. Calling somebody a liar, not telling the truth as if there is truth. Which brings us to only one pair of glasses at a time, Todd. Mythbusters, what is the truth about the second law of thermodynamics? Gentlemen, courtesy of Answers Magazine, the second law of thermodynamics did not take effect until after the fall. True or false? Second law that it moves from order to chaos. It
false.
Doesn't move from chaos to order, which is evolution.
Unless something is added in, unless energy or effort or something is added in to stave
organize
off the
it.
Chaos. Yeah.
And intelligence, if you don't mind me saying so.
Wouldn't it
but
be
the
true
second
then?
Law, thermodynamics, closed systems tend toward increased entropy or disorder.
True.
This law has led some to conclude that if things are running down, the second law was not in effect until after the fall, because we see the cumulative effects of the increasing disorder caused by sin. However, writes Answers Magazine, such a conclusion assumes that all increased entropy is bad. In fact, entropy is responsible for many good things that happen every day. Digestion, sunlight, breathing, walking uphill, warming cooled skin. The second law of thermodynamics refers to the transfer of heat and energy. Therefore, it had to be in effect since creation. This kind of reminds me of heaven, in that we have this tendency to think that almost anything that on the surface doesn't appear totally divine is imperfect. And that's not true. Human beings have never been God. We've always been the creation. And yet without sinning, we still were not what some people's conception of perfect is, if it is defined as being able to do all things. So many people, I think, have the perception that heaven, we're just going to be supermen and women. We're going to be able to just do everything. First of all, I don't think the Bible promises that. Second of all, I don't think we saw that in the garden before the fall. It doesn't mean that we're going to have all of God's abilities. We cannot be omnipotent or we'd be God. We cannot be omniscient or we would be God. We cannot be omnipresent or we would be God. We get some of those attributes, and to have less than all of it does not mean that it is sinful. We will not be God in heaven. We get to share an awful lot of his attributes, but we do not get them in totality. Furthermore, I think that there is an actual practical process that if you think it through, it just can't work. If everybody can bench how much? You can bench the earth. You can bench the earth. You're omnipotent.
It's
so we're all
doing a push-up.
Equally omnipotent. You see, we become God then. And God is not God. Furthermore, let's just say from sports, you are never going to miss a tennis ball. You're never going to hit a shot into the net because you're going to be perfect, right? So when we're playing tennis, it's just going to be one point that never ends because nobody's ever going to miss. That's ludicrous. Just because you miss a point, it doesn't mean you've sinned. It just means that you're not divine. You're imperfect in that you can't do all things. But just because you can't do all things doesn't mean that it's sinful somehow. is it possible that in heaven it's going to be very much the way that it is on this earth without the sin component? And so we're going to be writing music. And it will be work, because remember, work existed before the fall. Work is not an effect of the fall. Work was in place before the fall. Remember, God worked to create the place, and he wasn't sinning because he worked, was he? If we were all going to be perfect as defined by every divine attribute, going to be ours, no errors, no mistakes, nothing, no shortcomings, it's going to be a long game of chess. It'll always be stalemate. I suspect we're going to write music. There will be activities. People will write books. We'll read books. Why can't we gain more knowledge in heaven? And learn by learning. Why does that mean that you're sinning if you don't know everything about thermodynamics? You could learn. I just think that there's a massive adventure awaiting us in heaven that makes it far more compelling and interesting, and dare I say biblical, by understanding that not possessing every divine attribute does not mean you are sinning. Mythbuster. Gentlemen, the Bible... Oh boy, this is going to get some emails. The Bible teaches geocentrism and a flat earth. True or false?
False.
These days, it's a big trend, and it really is. From Answers Magazine, and that is the definitive word. Few biblical texts even remotely address geocentrism, that's a word, or a flat earth. And those that do are using figurative language, poetic imagery, idiomatic expressions. Consider Isaiah 11:12, Revelation 7:1, Psalm 93:1. And since the Bible, in these instances, is not speaking like a cosmology textbook, you shouldn't insist that they're drawing clear pictures of the way the cosmos is designed. You undoubtedly say, the sun rose this morning at 7:12. Or if you watched the news and the weatherman said that the sun rose at 7:12, you didn't get outraged knowing that, hey, the sun doesn't rise. This is the rotation business. That weatherman is lying. It's the language we use. And the Bible uses some language. It is true. The four corners of the earth. Well, it's not saying that there's four corners. It's an expression. The whole place, etc. This is from Answers Magazine. Flat Earth proponents claimed the earthly church leaders believed in a biblical flat earth. However, humans have believed the earth is a sphere since at least the 5th century BC. It wasn't until the late 19th century that skeptics claimed the Bible described a flat earth, blaming Christianity for hampering progress by rejecting scientific enlightenment. Likewise, some critics erroneously claim the Catholic Church persecuted Galileo in the 17th century for believing the earth revolved around the sun. It was way more complex than that. This allowed them to describe Christians as unenlightened geocentrists who opposed scientific discovery. Modern technology, unless you think that there is some sort of grand conspiracy, and I don't know what the end game would be, you can see it. You can see the globe. You can monitor the movement of the planets. Repeatable scientific observation consistently supported a spherical earth that revolves around the sun. The Bible does not teach the earth is flat, nor that it is the center of the universe, and no historical, scientific, or biblical evidence supports either idea. I do wonder, you know, remember, for those people who perhaps thought that the earth was flat, what was their concern? You're going to fall off the edge of it. Wouldn't that still be a concern today? And yet people fly around, well, we used to fly around the globe when we used to be allowed to fly. We used to fly around the... You can see it. We do this all the time. We have space images. And the Bible is not wrong because it sometimes speaks poetically. It just isn't. That's how we interpret the Bible. You interpret it based on genre, which includes figures of speech. And the Bible is not describing a flat earth or is it being the center of the universe. So nothing is compromised. And we don't have to argue for something that the Bible doesn't demand, that science in this instance clearly would refute. So just go ahead and send those emails with all the links that you would like to and the YouTube videos. I look forward to receiving them. idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. No, no, no. Send them to Ken Ham. Ken Ham at answersingenesismagazine.org. This is Wretched Radio. Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind. But seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives. Lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
Now, obeying the Great Commission is easier than ever. So far, you have given away over 800,000 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And we couldn't be more thrilled. But we are far from finished, my fellow evangelist. Not to be greedy or anything, but our goal is to give away 1 million copies of What Time is Purple. It's perfect for college students struggling to figure out what the truth is, or for atheists or agnostics you may know. So while you're visiting wretched.org/purple, order your copies and order as many copies as you promised to give away. And all you do is pay for the shipping. Together, we can reach 1 million students with the gospel. 1 million. If you're a ministry or a church group and you'd like to pass out a whole herd of What Time is Purple, is it a herd or would it be a gaggle? Anyway, we'd love to send you a bunch of copies. Just email Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, and he'll get you all sorted. Join us in obeying the Great Commission at wretched.org/purple.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You better believe it. Gonna milk this magazine for all it's worth. And let me tell you something, it's worth a lot. This is Wretched Radio. Don't get Answers Magazine. You don't get a lot. This bad boy is rich with really cool information. I'll confess to you, it is written for knuckleheads like me. I get a lot of it, and it's written for people who are way deep into science. It runs the gamut. And I learned something. No, I learned a lot every time I read it. Answers Magazine. More Mythbusters for your consideration.
Oh, I love feeling stupid. Go ahead.
The created Earth. You get used to it after a while, though. Trust me.
I do.
It becomes like a fish in water. You just don't even realize you're wet. The created Earth resembled what we see today. True or false? The created Earth resembled pretty much what we observe today.
There's a lot of ways I could understood pretty much.
All right.
Yeah.
Specifically, landmass. From Answers Magazine, the world today is not the same as the world prior to the flood. The pre-flood world was destroyed by water. Lots of it. 2 Peter 3:6. Massive shifts, broken foundations. Genesis 1:9 implies the original earth might have had one landmass. If you look at the continents and islands on the globe, you can see how all the land could fit back together like pieces in a puzzle. It's true. The geologic evidence is consistent with the biblical perspective of a single landmass violently ripped apart by a cataclysmic global flood. Water can do a lot of damage. Water can make big holes in the ground. Just ask anybody who's seen the Grand Canyon, which I haven't seen. I hear it, no matter how much you expect it to be big, it's breathtakingly big. It was a lot of water, a little amount of time, made a great big hole. Not a trickle, a lot of time, big hole. A lot of water. The flood accounts for so much of what we see, the geologic columns. Only the flood can explain that, especially when you see fossils through different layers, which would indicate that they were dying or dead for millions of years. Or it happened really, really fast. We had a flood, and they got buried a lot. Speaking of the flood, the atmosphere was radically different before the flood. True or false, the atmosphere was radically different before the flood.
True.
You're in trouble. Joey, what say you?
I'm going to go with false then.
Well, clever. See, there was a season when the canopy theory was kind of a big deal. I remember when this was, that there was a canopy above the earth that sort of acted like it kept the rays out. It helped with the watering and the correct humidity. But increasingly, people are rejecting that. I don't think anybody's a heretic for suggesting it. But nevertheless, from Answers Magazine, the Bible does not support the idea that the early atmosphere was radically different from that of the post-flood world. Many of these proposed atmospheric changes are tied to the canopy model, which places a layer of water around the earth on the second day of creation. Many researchers, they've abandoned the canopy model. It has pitfalls. Scientifically, the model can't explain the greenhouse effect of a vapor layer, the transparency of the canopy, the harmful effects of increased oxygen concentrations, or the amount of water necessary for a global flood. So, it's not a perfect theory. Again, I don't think that anybody at AIG would call somebody a heretic for disagreeing on this, but as they look at it more closely, it doesn't quite add up. Biblically, the model, inconsistent. To assert, the Genesis 1:6 through 7 describes a canopy of water above the expanse of the earth would mean that Genesis 1:14 places the stars, sun, and moon beneath the canopy within the earth's atmosphere. That's a problem. Therefore, the canopy model seems to be a misinterpretation of Scripture. Now, should we start a new denomination because of that information?
Yes.
Probably.
So, yeah, that'd probably be a good idea. I'm not sure we get along with that. All right, gentlemen, are you one more to go. You're doing phenomenally well from Answers Magazine. Rain and rainbows did not exist before the flood. True or false? Rain and rainbows did not exist before the flood.
False.
Tony, what say you?
True.
They did not exist before the flood. Was driving to Nashville.
IR smart.
And it was up by where they make all the carpet and the flooring. The carpet cap, Dalton, Georgia. And let me tell you something. They're into flooring in that town. I don't know who got together and made the decision that a lot of our flooring is going to come from Dalton, Georgia, but it does. Huge industry there. A lot of people employed by it. It's right out. It's probably a half an hour to Chattanooga from Dalton, Georgia. Maybe even less than that, depending on if you're obeying the law or not.
Can you get there on the choo-choo?
Everything gets to Chattanooga on the choo-choo. Chattanooga, I'm telling you, that town, it's getting there. If you're looking for an up-and-coming place, I'm telling you, Chattanooga's got that vibe. They are working hard to make that a cool place. That lower town where all the brick buildings, getting very, very groovy, man, was driving there. I have never been that close to the end of a rainbow. It felt like it was like landing on the highway, like I drove through the rainbow. I don't even know if a rainbow can actually touch the ground. I did not hit a pot of gold. No swerving was involved. So apparently not. But I'm telling you, that bad boy was like right there. And then I looked up from the rainbow. I remember this. I looked up from the rainbow. I was thinking about Ken Ham. How can you not? Because I do believe that he now has the rainbow trademarked for the Ark exhibit. And there was a billboard. Lots of Christians buying billboards to give Christian messages. Some of them better than others. This particular billboard said, God is, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, God is going to judge the world, including Democrats. Well, there you go. That should win somebody. I think that's what it was. God is going to judge everybody, including Democrats. And I thought, well, if you're looking for a way to annoy somebody, that probably would be the way to get it done right there. Put politics right inside of a gospel presentation. Oh, I was looking for the picture of the, because I took a picture of the billboard so I would remember it. Apparently deleted it. But this is another good, here's something good. This is from a guy named Adam Grant. Complete non sequitur. Friel, we're getting used to it. A sign of wisdom is not believing everything you think. I took a snap of that. A sign of wisdom is not believing everything you think. What? I didn't take a snap. I see what you did there. A sign of emotional intelligence is not internalizing everything you feel. Thoughts and emotions are possibilities to entertain, not certainties to take for granted. I've been kind of paraphrasing that. Ideas are suggestions. A little tighter, a little pithier, a little bit more text-worthy. When you have a thought run through your noggin, do not assume that it is the truth. It might be. It might not be. Don't assume that your feeling is accurate, that your emotion is correct. Filter, filter, filter. All of those things, whether it's an emotion or a thought or an idea, an imagination, an agenda, a goal, all through the filter of truth. I think this is a pithy saying that would help a lot of people. Ideas are mere suggestions until confirmed by the Bible. That would help. You're scared. Your emotions are out of control. You're fearful of the future. A lot of people are these days. Does the Christian actually have anything to fear? No, we don't. Except God himself, rightly, not in a servile way, a reverential way. Our biggest problem has been solved. Our dealing with God issue has been dealt with by Jesus. We don't really have fears that are big. It is a mist. It is a vapor we are living in. And our biggest problem facing God on Judgment Day, it has been dealt with. And now we can live a life. It may be challenging. It may be difficult. It may involve illness. It may involve a virus. But I do not have to fear the future because I know that God has it. He's got this thing charted out, and it is good, and it is well with my soul. So when I get a thought to the contrary, I have to stop and go, is it true that I should be afraid right now? Or is this just my knuckleheaded brain thinking a bad thought again? And you get it under control. Thoughts and emotions are possibilities to entertain, not certainties to take for granted. Question them before you accept them. Rainbows and rain did exist before the flood. Although Genesis 2, 5 through 6 describes a period rain fell, it refers only to a time before the creation of man. And Hebrews 11, 7 states that God warned Noah concerning events as yet unseen. It's not a reference to rain, but to a catastrophic global flood. Rainbows, Genesis 9, 13 does not teach God created the first colorful bow after the flood, only that he assigned it as a symbol of his faithfulness. No one can prove rain fell or rainbows graced the sky before the flood, but to insist that they did not stretches the meaning of Scripture. In other words, gentlemen, congratulations. You're both right.
I passed?
Wow, this suddenly sounds like
sort of
liberal radio all of a sudden. I don't know what just happened there. Get Answers Magazine, Answers in Genesis. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.